Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Casting Seeds. I'm Savannah, your host, and you are listening to the only holistic podcast that uses God's singular truth to give you individualized discernment. I am doing a solo episode today because I am talking about the first trimester. I'm also going to be going over the second and third trimester in further episodes, but these are going to be just general differences between allopathic medicine and holistic medicine. If you are unsure what allopathic medicine is, I definitely recommend you listening to our Holistic 101 episode. It kind of goes over detailed information on terms and just things that we're going to be talking about specifically in my podcast. But it's also just a good overall scope for holistic information in general. This episode is actually somewhat personal for me because I've only ever had 4 first trimesters, and I just wanted this to kind of be a short and sweet summary along with the next few episodes because I'm going to be interviewing people who are medical professionals in this industry and get to give their professional and medical opinion. While I've been on birth teams and have been birth support, I am not a birth medical professional, and I just would never want that to be confused. But I do specifically know how to do alignment for prenatal and postnatal for infant and mother and also dad. So that's where my expertise is going to come in, and also my personal experience specifically in the first trimester. Your first trimester and what you're going to experience. Because Jeremiah is not here, I get to use all the sound effects I want without him making fun of me. But in the first trimester, let's talk about mom. I think the number one thing that people think about in first trimester is nausea, like vomiting, where it can get to the point of vomiting. And obviously it can become very extensive where even women have to be hospitalized. I have always recommended for moms to use chamomile tinctures for vomiting and nausea, and it has worked miracles for so many women. You can gain 1 to 2 kilograms or maybe even less when you have morning sickness, and that weight from the placenta and the blood coming to your breasts is normally what causes the sickness. You have a flood of hormones coming into your body, and all of those new extra hormones in your body working extra hard and using all that extra blood is what can make women nauseous. Your heartbeat and breathing rate are going to be faster than normal, and possibly dad's the first week of finding out that you're pregnant. Your breasts become tender and larger and heavier due to the new healthy inflation and inflammation. I say inflation because your breasts are literally going to enlarge, but the inflammation that's coming because of your lymph nodes changing and the ducts changing in your breasts. And mine were really sore when that happened to me. Your uterus is going to grow and put pressure onto your bladder. You may feel like you need to urinate and pee a lot more. And there are also ways that I've been able to help women within the first and second trimester of shifting the weight of their uterus, especially if you have a tilted uterus, off of the bladder where it doesn't put so much pressure onto the bladder so that you're not running to the restroom consistently. You're going to feel a huge flux of mood swings, especially in the first, I would say, 8 weeks of your pregnancy, because that's when the biggest flood of hormones are coming. And even probably a few weeks before your first pregnancy is able to be actually figured out. So like week 1 and week 2, where you don't even know you're pregnant, but you're like, something's different. That's how you can tell. And you're going to know exactly how you feel about having a baby the moment you know you're pregnant. I know Jeremiah and I were both somewhat terrified, but mostly excited when we found out that we were pregnant, especially the first time. Every time after that, there was a little bit of nervousness because we knew that the percentage overall of miscarriages was around 20%. But because I had PCOS, that actually bumps it up to about 60%. And endometriosis is the same thing due to having lower progesterone levels. But I recommend, because we're not going to go into all the hormones today, I definitely recommend starting from the beginning of the series and just listening to the overall information that I spoke about with Liz in my first interview with the Bearing and Birthing series. Okay, so now let's go into the first prenatal visit and what you're going to expect, whether it's at a midwifery or at an OB office. Jeremiah and I had the worst experience ever at an OB office, that was postpartum after we had our miscarriage. We also had a horrible experience when we were just trying to get blood work to find out if we were pregnant. And that's what I think really turned us into 100% midwifery and not wanting to work with OBs at all. Though I have heard the opposite of the complete opposite end. So either way, I want you guys to know, if someone is telling you that you have to be 100% midwife and that's the only way to go, it's the healthiest way to go, or someone's telling you you have to only be at a hospital, there's no other way, you could kill your baby. If either one practitioner or doctor is reactive like that and responsive like that, they do not care about the health of you and your baby or your husband. They are more concerned about the dollar signs that they're going to be getting from you as a patient or as a client. So each practitioner that you work with should be 100% in for you doing what's best for your healthcare, for the health of you and your baby and your husband, because he is equally as important in this whole experience. And also, if you have other kids, it should be what's best for you and your family and what's healthiest for you and your baby. Okay, so on both ends, this is what should happen, but I will talk about what didn't happen in our experiences. So the first prenatal visit, you should go over any type of medical history, and I'm going to go over the general of what should happen, and if a midwife or a OB does not go over these things with you, they are probably not very experienced, and I would probably say no, because that's the thing too. You interview your OBs and your midwives, and it would be good if you did this before you got pregnant and had people in your pocket that you knew you wanted to work with, which would take a lot of pressure and weight off of your shoulders the moment that you do find out you're pregnant. So now you're pregnant and you did this interview process first, and these are the questions that they asked you and that you asked to go over with your doctor / midwife. Personal medical history, previous and current medical conditions, especially like diabetes, high blood pressure, hypertension, anemia, and allergies are really important. You want to go over current medications, prescriptions, and over-the-counter and natural supplements, nutritional supplements, because there are things that, especially in my world, being an herbalist, that I would totally recommend you not take during your pregnancies. Then again, every person is different, but we would still go over that. Previous surgeries are also really important, especially women who have had previous C-sections or anything abdominal wise. You want to go over maternal and paternal family medical history, including illnesses, intellectual or developmental disabilities, genetic disorders, and sickle cell disease or Tay-Sachs disease, personal, genealogical, and also past histories when it comes to pregnancies, like pregnancies, stillbirths, miscarriages, deliveries, terminations as well, which is just a nice way of saying abortions, menstrual history, your length and duration, and menstrual periods. So everything that has to do with your type of reproductive system as women, and also I want to add as men as well for reproductive health if men have gotten checked for their sperm and things like that. Education, including what you want to do, if you understand proper nutrition, expected weight gain in pregnancy, regular exercise, the avoidance of alcohol and drugs and tobacco use, and marijuana use, the discussion of any types of concerns or even domestic violence. Those things need to be brought up. And some doctors will separate the woman from the husband at that time, but I mean, it's all kind of circumstantial, and healthcare professionals are supposed to be able to see if things like that are happening. You also may or may not have a pelvic exam depending on the situation. For midwifery, it really depends on whether or not they'll do an internal or external exam. Every single midwife is different, and the same thing with every single doctor, but normal allopathic care, which is Western care, normally tends to do a pelvic exam. They'll note the size and the position of the uterus. They want to determine the age of the baby, or it would be a fetus at that time, medically speaking, to check the pelvic bone, the size and the structure. And some do perform a pap test, also called a pap smear, for the presence of abnormal cells. But you can also say no to that. The same thing you can also say no to are extra urine tests and blood tests. Normally they do the blood test to determine the blood type and also the authenticity of sometimes like, you know, is this the dad? And also women are going to use sometimes blood tests for the HR factor during the early weeks of pregnancy. So the HR incompatibility means that the mother's blood is HR negative and this father's blood is HR positive and the baby's blood is HR positive. So mom's negative, baby's positive, dad's positive. The mothers may take antibodies against the HR positive fetus or baby, which may lead to anemia in the fetus. So the incompatibility problems are watched and basically treated throughout the pregnancy. And that's normally determined by blood type. So if you married someone, if you are negative blood type and someone's a positive blood type, that's how that can happen. So you just want to make sure that you check blood types and things like that as well. Blood screenings can also be very important. They're done to find diseases and to check on the effect of the pregnancy. So your human growth hormones, so HGH levels. And the example of some people check in for rubella and infectious diseases called the German measles and stuff. But I mean, they're not very common. So you can do all those extra tests, but a lot of them are actually not needed. And I don't know of many midwives who do all of those extra blood screenings or even genetic tests. I know a lot of Christians opt out for genetic tests because whether or not they find inherited diseases or sickle cell anemia or Tay-Sachs, every Christian should be giving birth to their baby and trying to bring it to full term and not do any terminations. Most genetic tests are done for women and men to decide whether or not they want to abort their child. Other screening and tests are normally for infectious diseases and sexually transmitted diseases and urinary tract infections. Jeremiah and I, when we went in for our first ever blood work just to find out whether or not I was pregnant, immediately the doctor, before even asking me my health history or anything like that, she tried to give me, because I told her I had Hashimoto's, and she's like, oh, here's a prescription for it. And I was like, I don't want to be on a prescription. And she literally did not care. I also asked to get my blood work done and she refused to do it. And didn't ask me anything about my genetic background, Jeremiah's genetic background, didn't do any pelvic exams, just immediately tried to give me a prescription to make money off of me. So that was a huge, I guess the best way to describe it was like a huge hurtful and traumatic experience that we had to go through because it was my first ever pregnancy and I was really excited and nervous. And for someone to just try to, you know, make money off of me, I immediately went into like protective mode and got really upset. So what to expect with the baby in your very first trimester, which I'm gonna do the fun music again. I just love this little sound. It's so pretty. So the healthy first trimester is crucial to normal development of a fetus. I'm just going to say baby. You may not be showing much on the outside, but on the inside, you guys, all of the major organs and the systems of the baby are going to be forming. So as the embryo implants itself into the uterine wall, very many developments take place, including the amniotic sac. So the sac is filled with amniotic fluid called the amniotic sac, and it surrounds the baby throughout the pregnancy. The amniotic fluid is liquid because the baby is the amnion, which the membrane covers like the fetal side of the placenta. So that side of the placenta, the amniotic fluid protects the baby from injury so it can kind of float and be buoyant. It also helps regulate temperature for the baby. Placenta. The placenta is an organ that's shaped kind of like a flat cake and it only grows during pregnancy. It attaches to the uterine wall with a tiny projections called villi, and the fetal blood vessels that grow from the umbilical cord into the villi exchange nourishment and waste products with your blood. The fetal blood vessels are separated from the blood supply through a thin membrane. So it actually has like a cool filtration system and picks the nutrients that your baby needs and then only allows it to absorb through that, through the food that you have, and also from the body fat and the storage that your body has prepared years prior. So if you've eaten junk for years, that's what your body is going to use to also produce your baby's organs, which is terrifying. So you should be preparing, like I mentioned in the biblical sex episodes, like years before you were ever even pregnant. The umbilical cord is also formed. So the umbilical cord is a rope-like cord connecting from the fetus to the placenta. And the umbilical cord contains two arteries and a vein, which carry oxygen and nutrients to the baby and also takes waste products away from the baby. So your body is going to be producing and filtering your own nutrients and waste and your baby's nutrients and waste. And that's why supporting your liver leading up to pregnancy and even throughout pregnancy in a healthy, safe way, not doing liver toxins or flushes, but supporting your liver is really, really important during your first trimester, specifically in creating those healthy pathways, but I think through all trimesters. Also during the first trimester, that's when the baby's most susceptible to damage from substances. I can't say my S words today, like alcohol, drugs, certain medicines and illnesses. I know like rubella is the one that's mentioned the most, the German measles. But during the first trimester, your body and your baby's body are changing rapidly. So it's normally when you are like the most exhausted, because like I mentioned earlier, your mammary glands enlarge, your areolas are going to enlarge, your veins become more noticeable on the surface of your breast, your uterus grows, so it puts pressure on your bladder, your hormones, your surge of hormones causes mood swings and irritability. You have increased levels of hormones that cause morning sickness. Constipation can happen because of your uterus growing and putting pressure. That's where someone like me could come in and help adjust the area and help you lightly rotate and move your organs into place. The muscular contractions sometimes can be more intense, and people can get heartburn and indigestion and constipation and gas. Your clothes are going to feel tighter, which is going to make you feel more uncomfortable. And also your skin is going to feel more sensitive. You can with extreme tenderness due to like your physical, emotional, ways of pregnancy, and the cardiac volume increases 40 to 50%, which is huge from the beginning to the end of pregnancy. So your output is going to be demanding a lot more protein and not necessarily sugars, but we would want complex carbohydrates going into your diet. Now we get into the fun part, which is also talking about the baby's development from the first basically week to 12 weeks. So during the first 8 weeks, the baby is called an embryo, and the embryo develops so quickly by the end of the first trimester. Like this is when the baby's like doubling in size per week. That doesn't happen in any other trimester. It's crazy. The baby becomes fully formed into a fetus, weighing approximately like 1 ounce on average, or 3 to 4 inches in length. So I'm going to go over the kind of timing benchmarks that all should be developed within the first 4 weeks, 8 weeks, and then from embryo to fetus, and then during the last 9 to 12 weeks in your first trimester. You know what? Actually, let's do the embryo to fetus kind of in general. After 8 weeks, the embryo is now referred to a fetus, which means offspring. Although the fetus is only 1 to 1.5 inches long at this point, all major organs and systems have been developed and formed. So that's why when people, a lot of Christians can be offended when they talk about embryo or fetus, but they're just using it in biological terms, and it also helps basically doctors understand what age the baby's at, whether or not it's made it from embryo to fetus. But yes, at that point you could change fetus to baby. So by the end of 4 weeks, this is everything that has formed. And there's also a great little booklet I'm gonna put in the show notes that we got. It's how you can pray for your baby each week that it's being formed. And literally each week I cried every day praying over like the fingernails being made and like just God's intent for each part of their body. I'll put it in the show notes, but let me tell you, it will make you cry. We also passed out those cards to people to pray over each week for our baby's health. But by the end of week 4, this is everything that happens. All major systems and organs begin to form. The embryo looks like a little tadpole, which is so cute. The neuteral tube, which becomes the brain and the spinal cord, the digestive system, the heart, and circulatory system all are starting to form. The beginnings of the eyes and ears are developing, which I totally remember that prayer. knowing that I could talk to my baby already and that they could hear me, just, I was bawling. Tiny limb buds appear, which will develop into arms and legs, and the heart is beating. So you already have a heartbeat by the end of 4 weeks. And actually, I think it's formed on week three. By the end of 8 weeks, all major body systems continue to develop and function, including the circulatory, nervous, digestive, and urinary systems. That's huge. By the end of 8 weeks, that's wild. The embryo is taking on a human shape, although the head is larger in proportion to the rest of the body. The mouth is developing little tooth buds, which will become baby teeth someday. The eyes, nose, mouth, and ears are becoming more distinct. The arms and legs can be easily seen, and the fingers and toes are still webbed but can clearly be distinguished. The main organs continue to develop and can hear the baby's heartbeat using an instrument called a Doppler. The bones begin to develop and the nose and jaw are rapidly developing. So this is when they really start forming their face. The embryo is constant, in motion, but cannot be felt by the mother. So if you can feel things going on, which, by the way, my first three pregnancies, I could feel so much. I don't know. I can't explain it. It felt like a lot of blood flow and motion down there, but I realized it's because my uterus and ovaries were so inflamed, and my colon, by the way, was just constant inflammation down there, that I could overly feel everything and it was overly sensitive. And that's how I knew there was something wrong. So, if you can feel things in a more spiritual sense, where God's making it clear, oh yeah, there's a baby there, that's completely different than when you physically feel movement and your body moving around the baby, because that's the beginning stages of cramping and flushing for inflammation. During weeks 9 to 12, the external genital organs are developed. So that's how you're able to start seeing whether or not you're having a boy or girl. The fingernails and toenails appear, eyelids are formed, fetal movement increases, so you can actually start to feel the baby at this time, and the arms and legs are fully formed. They have little arms and legs. The voice box, the larynx, also begins to form off of the trachea. So your baby is going to be able to start actually moving their mouth and making little, they could have hiccups sometimes inside of you, and their voice is actually starting to form. But those are the first from 0 to 12 weeks, which I think is so fun. But the baby is most vulnerable during the first 12 weeks. During this time, because of all of the major organs and body systems are being formed, they can be damaged so easily. So it's good. It's really good for the first 12 weeks for moms to, in any type of high toxin environments, to completely remove themselves. And that means also getting rid of any chemicals that you use with your hair products, your lotions, your makeups, it's so hard. When I talk to people about creating a toxin-free home, it really can take a good 6 months to reset your home. So that's why I do think it's so important, you guys, when you are thinking about wanting to have kids, you should be preparing your body and your life for having children. You don't have children just for the convenience of it, or you feel like you want kids. You are having a child or planning to have a child because God has put in that desire and will and made it clear that it's your season, and He's the one who gives life. He's the one who can take away life, right? So when it comes down to preparing for that season, the question is, have you really, and I'm not saying accidents can't happen, or, we're not listening to God in our season and we are really caught off guard. But normally men and women, when we are thinking about God-centered men and women, when we're preparing for marriage and understanding we're going to be married, we're also preparing for the fact that we're going to become mothers or fathers, right? So one way of preparing for that is making sure you do live in a toxin-free environment and making sure you're cleaning products, the products you put on your hair, face, skin, nails, the products that you spray in your house, the products that you use to wash your laundry or your dishes, the things that, even the clothes that you buy, whether they're a higher toxin load, the food that you eat, those things, if you do it all at once, it's going to be so unbelievably overwhelming. And that's why, again, listening to the Holistic 101 episode, right? What is your purpose? Why are you doing this? If you truly have been preparing for the past few years, that knowing that you're going to become a wife and a mother, then you started these things a long time ago and have slowly found your own routine that you've brought into now becoming a wife and becoming a mother. And it shouldn't be something that you're just dropping all at once. Otherwise, that stress is, one, going to make it so difficult for you to even become pregnant. And two, on top of that, taking away those extra stressors and inflammation for your liver, for your body to process, and for your baby to not process while he or she is inside of you, getting these things out of your life is going to lower the risk of abnormalities. I can't believe I can't say that. I literally had to take a breath and like Google it because I thought I was making up a word for a second. For basically your baby. But especially when these things are affecting their organs and their systems, that's something that can affect them for the rest of their life. So finding out you're pregnant earlier rather than later is also much better. Even though the organs and the systems are fully formed, a baby would not be able to survive independently at this point. So if you ended up having a miscarriage or losing your baby at any point in time, there is no possible way for the baby to be able to survive. I wanted to mention too that Jeremiah and I are 100% here for anybody who just have been heartbroken from losing a child within the first 12 weeks, because we have lost four, and we have four beautiful, awesome, heavenly babies in heaven that we can't wait to meet. But we also understand what it means to have unhealthy lifestyles and unhealthy bodies affect our babies. And at the end of the day, we are a chemical-free household. We do live very naturally and very healthy lifestyles. And it doesn't mean though that we're not subject though to the author of creation, who is God, right? So remember that at the end of the day, God still has the power to give life and take away life. And he has the power to also heal you from diseases, heal your baby, protect you guys in any way, shape, or form. And you can also pray for the health of your family and for your babies. But also, God always has a will and a purpose for his design and his creation. And he can use sin, right? Imperfect sin and abnormalities. Yeah, I said it again. To his benefit and to be glorified. So when people say that you should have an abortion for a baby that was diagnosed with any type of autism or disease, God can still use that child to any way, shape, or form that he wants. And also, there have been so many misdiagnoses with autism where babies come out completely healthy. And I just want to let you guys know that we're here to support you, whether it's being on a birth team or just as prayer and as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, for your choices of what's best for you and your family, which includes the baby that's developing inside of you. The only healthcare that we advocate here for Casting Seeds and for Savannah Marie Massage and as the holistic brand is any type of healthcare that benefits the life and better living for the child and for the mother and father, all together as a unit, not separate or individually only, except for maybe lifting up the child's life as well. So even changing your lifestyles to make sure that your child through fetal and embryo development are as healthy as they can be for their life, because there are many children who come out with issues because of parents being selfish. But we want to let you guys know that we are super excited to continue into the next few chapters. These are all going to be shorter episodes, again, like I said at the beginning, because we're going to be interviewing actual healthcare professionals, and I would love to go more in depth with all of the questions you guys have sent in about nutrients and lifestyle choices and interviewing questions to ask, All of those things are amazing, and I can't wait to ask our healthcare professionals that we're going to be having on the show. So until then, enjoy the shorter episodes and also enjoy the body mapping episodes that we're throwing in so that I can still be giving you guys some of my expertise. And I can't wait to keep casting seeds with you. And we're praying always for you guys. Please give us a review. Give us, I hope it's 5 stars. Share the episodes with your friends if they're preparing for birth, or even if they have questions about body mapping. And send us in questions if there are things that interest you when it comes to holistic health and Christianity. We're here to help kind of filter out the things that, you know, may not be super godly and are 100% glorifying to the Lord. And I know a lot of you guys have sent in questions on essential oils and yoga, and those things are actually going to be coming up through healthcare in the Bearing and Birthing series. So thank you so much for listening, you guys. And I can't wait for next week's episode on the second trimester in the Bearing and Birthing series. We hope you enjoyed learning how to cultivate God's creation from a biblical perspective. Holistic health is to prioritize whole person wellness through Christ. Like and comment on what topics we're casting seeds or casting pearls.
If you found this information provided useful, subscribe to our podcast for future updates, leave a review to help us improve, and share this episode. We would like to remind you before we leave that perfect health cannot be attained in this world.
Only spiritual salvation through sanctification and repentance to God and turning away from sin will give you a perfect body in the kingdom come. Nourish yourself in the Word, in prayer, and in biblical fellowship daily.
Thank you for joining us today, and a special thank you to our listeners for making this podcast possible.
Always praying.
Keep casting seeds.